clarification I got, and I turned it on to continue.
Thank you.
Joby's joining us. He got a few requests from countywide that he wanted to make sure he answered questions of that.
Right. I appreciate that. I was wondering. I'm not sure.
No problem.
So. I just wanted to hang out with y'all this morning.
What a better place. There's a better place here.
There's a river of food, but.
Sorry. I got to go to the granola bar. If you really get a granola bar,
you have to make something.
I mean,
here I am.
You could have shared.
Okay. So, good morning, everybody. It is January 20th, 2020, 9:03 a.m., and we're in the public meeting room at the Story County Administration Building, about ready to go over countywide services budget, and then maybe have some general budget discussion as well. And I think most of the remarks that we've made, everybody's heard, so we'll dispense with those, but we will state our names, if you would, please, for the record. Linda Merkin, Chair of Story County Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Operations and County Services.
Laura Solson, Board of Supervisors.
Lisa Haddams, Board of Supervisors.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Alyssa Windmill, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
Joby Brogdon, Facilities Management Director.
So we said mix it up a little bit. That's Monday morning. I forgot to ask people to state their names, so we're just helping each other out here. Okay. Lisa, you want to walk us through it?
Yeah. So page 42 starts with countywide, and this is the revenue. Not all revenue, obviously, but the majority of the specific revenues that go through. I don't know if you have any questions. In this, there are closed lots and sales tax. Again, we talked about it earlier. It goes into countywide, and I'm estimating 2.3 going into the rural fund there. Insurance and damage payments going down a little bit. That is one of those things that we have. We basically reevaluate, reestimate closer during the year so we know what's coming up with that. That is down mainly because of DAPL. We're finally done with that pass through DAPL money that was being spent. So it was going into insurance or damage and then coming out of countywide. Are there any questions on any of these?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I want to go back up to the business property tax credit,
mm-hmm.
and I'll combine that with the commercial and industrial replacement
mm-hmm.
to make sure. Are these the backfills that the state gives us? Okay. So until we're done with the legislative session, or until it comes up about the backfills and then is defeated in committees or hopefully, okay, we're not 100% sure about that $1.2 million, correct?
No, and that's each fund gets dollars. So that is a combination of all of our levying funds. So the $484 for business property tax credit,
mm-hmm.
combination of all levying funds.
For the backfill part.
Right.
Okay. So worst case scenario, because I guess I'm Debbie Downer up here, is that we could be looking at a 1.2. In the past, we were looking at 700,000 related to commercial and industrial itself, correct?
So the best thing, actually, the best guess that I can put in here for revenues is the most recent amount that we've received. Commercial and industrial and business property tax come twice a year. So what I've done is doubled what we received as of December.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what page are you on?
45, those two lines are noted. Mm-hmm. For commercial, okay, so how does this work, Lucy? Help me out. Business property tax credit is dependent on who
files.
Who files.
So there is, and then it's distributed statewide. So every time, you know, you get a new filing person or somebody drops off, they have to recalculate statewide what goes to which county. So that's something that we manage. We try to get as close as we can, but there's always some tiny adjustments. So that's just what they... There's a statewide allocation, and it just depends on how many entities file in which county is what you're going to get. So it has a...
And the commercial and industrial, yes, is based on valuation.
Yeah, that's just the percentage that has been rolled back. Now they're buying back that in for, I don't know how long.
But that by law had a cap on it. If I want to say, what, $150 million statewide? Or more. There was a cap in that formula when they put this into place about the rollback replacement had a cap on it. The legislature said there was a cap statewide. So that formula, isn't that adjusted also?
I thought it was just so they're rolling back commercial industrial to
10%
every year. That's subject to appropriation if they're going to fill that in. But I think that's
the backfill. You mean?
Yeah,
it is.
So that's it's not so much capped as unknown if they're going to continue to do that.
I guess my point was yes, definitely it's every year, which is where my concern is. Is we're vulnerable at 1.2 million, but also as like Lisa explained about the business, or you explained about the business property tax credit, about its proportion statewide out of a set like cap. There's only so much of it, and then it's proportion statewide.
Right, it's an appropriation, and then it's just divvied up. However, correct.
So that's the same for the commercial and industrial replacement, as there's a maximum in the law that the various cities and counties will be reimbursed cumulatively. There's a maximum cap. So that's what I was just trying to point out. They don't necessarily, it doesn't backfill us every single dollar.
I think it's subject to annual appropriation, so whether or not they do that at 100% or a portion of that. Like they used to, do that with Homestead, where we knew what the 100% value was, but they were only funding like 82%. Now it seems to always be funded 100% because, but again, it's up to the whims of the legislature. I can ask Lisa how that works in the practice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You and I are on the same page. We're talking about two different things. Yes, every year they got to vote for it. I'm just saying about that even if they vote for it, we could get to a point statewide where the commercial and industrial portion exceeds the cap that was put on.
But I think everyone saw this go into effect thinking that someday they're going to stop backfilling this, and that's just, always in the
Pocket. There was talk last year of eliminating the backfill. I mean, it was more of, if you're going to do it, do a transition so you have a little bit more planning.
And give me your notice, since you can do it after we set our budget.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything else on that?
Let's see, flipping to the next page. This is just kind of to the bottom here about where is the bond money for StoryCom? Because we have StoryCom in the expenditures, but where do you show under revenue?
I don't, because we've already taken that revenue in. Well, actually, I do. The $3 million bond, it's in the general fund on page 42, about almost at the bottom of the page. General obligation bond.
Oh, there it is.
So it's in restricted funds in the general fund.
Okay, I learned that.
Yeah, we've already received that in.
That was just my error of not checking it. Okay, thank you.
The other thing I'll note then, too, is the tip estimations at this point in time, which are my best case today, what we think. The revenues from TIF that are not part of the bonded money and that are not part of the bonded money that we need right now, I'm looking at about 161.7. Okay, so when you're you start making decisions on how and what you're going to do with that, those additional, with those dollars that aren't already bonded and committed, there's about 161.7 to spend there.
And I found that amount under there.
Okay.
Yeah,
spend it on.
If you obligated,
you have to.
It is obligated for that. Period. End of conversation. There is no when you spend it by. Because at this point in time, there's, notice there's, well, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but there's dollars that have not been drawn down from 3 years ago. And Prairie Rail Trail, 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. You have to certify debt against this to access.
So this is considered certified debt. Is it? So I'm saying that you have 161.7 that you can certify debt against.
Okay. So in following that conversation up a little bit, if we wanted to go ahead and certify debt against it, that would be those URA projects that the cities apply, or any entity can apply for, and then we make those decisions. If we don't certify debt against it, it goes back into what our portion of revenue, regular general fund taxes would be. And what is that percentage again of that? I mean, you know, what are we basically collecting from the general fund revenue off of the turbines? A percentage? Is it? Do we get 40% or from taxes?
I'm not really sure I understand the question.
So if you have room there, you don't certify debt against it, then it just goes back. It just gets reallocated like it normally gets reallocated.
Right.
And I think, you know, the county's portion of any property tax is like 14%.
Okay.
Like that.
So then we would get 14% of that
less because debt service is taken out of that.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. No, that's good though. That is what I was asking. So at about 14% of 161. So that's 16,000 plus another roughly 21,000.
You have until December 1 to certify that debt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's Leanne usually starts that process in, I want to say, July, August.
Yeah, so starting earlier and earlier, which is good. So you guys talk about it, mm-hmm. and you don't push right up against December 1st.
Right. About 21 T if we don't. Okay. 21,000 we're going to the general fund.
Wow.
Well.
Okay.
Separate of that. Huh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm after. Lucy gave what I think is roughly what it would be, roughly, right? That would just go into that we could use for any expenses.
Yeah.
Right. I understand that. I'm just looking for that ballpark there. I know. Okay, thank you for that.
Any more questions on revenues? If you want to start on page 47 in the narrative, it's been on page 57.
A really small number, but the office rent under court physical operations, is that for the chief judge?
We pay Webster County quarterly for district court. Yeah, the chief judge, or which one is it?
The chief's in Webster.
District court.
Yeah. The chief's in Webster and the court administrator's in Sarah Gordon.
Yeah, so it's Webster,
hey,
Webster County.
Okay, so it's the chief, okay.
That
That's been that amount.
Second judicial rent, I want to say that that's been, for as long as I've been around, it's been the same amount. They don't change that amount, apparently.
Seems like a lot, but it's...
So, you know, it's probably easiest to just go down line by line, because that way we don't get confused or lost. The StoryCon project, there's a payment that the schedule is calling for. This is both the infrastructure and radios. And according to the payment schedule, that the most recent payment schedule I have, it will be... FY21 will be done paying for both of those things. Next one.
So given with this budget amount and what you have for the most recent payment schedule, et cetera, then we bonded $3 million. We took $1.5 out already for fiscal year 20. So I've got that we're about $385,000. That would be the extra or that would be left over at this point if we wanted to do something with the other communities, et cetera.
You can't tell that right now because we don't even have our final tower site yet and we don't know what that's going to cost.
So here's the rest of my questions/statement or whatever. I understand that, Lisa, okay? There may be people going here forward, okay? There may be people out in the communities, though, that will look at this because this is the amount that was shoved into the budget thinking that. That's where I was headed, Linda.
Okay.
So
here's what I want to say. The amount you see across those line items, as you can see, in 19, we paid $384,866.
Mm-hmm.
We add that to the 1.5 this year and 1.15 next year, and that's the full $3 million. This is the payment schedule on the on the project. Okay? Now, to Linda's point, at this point in time, as of last Thursday? What day was it? The towers are not finalized for construction. It looks as though going forward in this budget, in their plan, there may be dollars, but at this point in time, we're still not sure.
Super. And I understand, Linda, I wanted it more kind of on the audio record. Okay.
Well, I also, at the Emergency Management Commission meeting last week, told all the mayors that, and this is something I haven't had time to tell you, is that the Sheriff, Keith Morgan, and I met last week, and we determined that we probably had more radios that we had bought on the county level than we were going to need. Of the 30 that they were going to bank at Emergency Management, we tentatively came up to a 15 number. And of the 26 the sheriff had had for reserves, he only has 6 reserves right now. We came up with a few dozen that we could reassign, and a tentative plan to make a decision later in October about that, and possibly offer those as a discount price to some of the smaller jurisdictions that weren't able to get all the radios they wanted to. So I let folks know that, Sheriff and I let folks know that, and keep at the emergency management meeting last week. So they're aware that we're trying.
So. This and those radios that she's referring to there are part of the contracted amount in this first line item.
Okay. We had a guaranteed buy. We had to do $1,200. We have $1,277, so we've met our guaranteed buy. And we thought rather than try to, see if we could give them back or sell them back, whatever, not be charged for them, give them back, the better thing would be to look for the local jurisdiction.
So since those radios are already in the numbers that Lisa has presented here, okay, that means there's that $385, given the towers and everything, still might be available, or some portion of that.
You paid that 19.
That's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, that's in the three-year average. That's
SRO. Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah, I thought we'd
also, okay, charge it back then. So we're actually going to reclaim that money back, right? If we paid it in the, if we paid it back in 18, correct, the 384.
FY19.
Yeah, in 19. We didn't bond until 20.
Correct.
So
part of the $3 million bond.
I understand that. So I'm saying we paid it in 19, so it must have come out of general fund.
Until we borrowed.
Now, did we pay ourselves back?
Yes.
Thank you. That's where I was headed for the ask. Okay. That's okay. All right. Then that accounts for the entire $3 million. All right. That in a way that could be explained out there. Thank you. Okay. I'm done now.
I think until I'm hopeful that until we get our final tower, we have all our estimates, and we actually get into construction and know what this is going to cost, that we wait to make a accounting until we have better numbers. I mean, in terms of publicly if people ask.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still in a budget that's still pretty fluid.
I agree with you, Linda, and I think you've done a good job of communicating that out there. Just pointing out it's a public document. These numbers are in there. We're likely to get asked just so that, you know, understanding, and also so people can listen to the audio. We can send it back to the audio to explain how those dollars are. Okay, thank you.
Civil Service Commission is a required budgeting amount. Obviously, I reestimate based on what we actually get for civil service costs. Medical Examiner, I'm putting $125,000 in there. A couple comments about that. All we can do is budget what we budget, okay? Or budget an amount that we think makes sense. We have no idea how many we're going to pay for. The one thing we do know is the quarterly fees from McFarlin for medicine and these services.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much billed quarterly. One thing that has been, the medical examiner at Story County, Dr. Whiter, has approached us about is increasing the amount to his investigators that you guys contract with for another $50, because they're getting paid $150 per ME investigation that they do, and that comes out of this line item. Okay, he wants to up that to $200, and I think Linda's comment to him that she'd included me on just so that I knew what he was looking at was, you know, we can look to budget that. What I said to Linda and what I'll say to everybody is we have no idea how much that's going to be. So the best we can do is put an amount in here and then look at it as we go through the year, amend if we have to. You know, as you can see, if you look at averages, it's kind of hard to tell. I'm reestimating this year up to 150 because we're on track to spend 150. But I don't know that we need to put more than 125 in because I don't know how many autopsies we'll end up paying for. And those are about a little over $2,000 apiece.
So you didn't include the additional $50?
Well,
or
I don't go specifically to do that. I mean, I can give you an estimate of how much that is, but I don't. We have no idea. We put $55,000 in for ME investigations and transport, approximately.
So does the contract we have with them mean that we approve the amount he pays, or does he just pay the amount he pays?
The contract.
We have a contract.
We have independent contractor agreements with all those medical examiners.
Yes.
So
we have a contract
at 150 now. The contract would have to be updated to 200.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
So we contract with McFarland for the quarterly. That $15,900 is $3,000 a quarter for ME services, which is his oversight of the medical examiners. He doesn't do autopsies in that. That's not included. And $975 a quarter for clerical, which means, you know, getting the information to the county attorney's office, whatever. So what I'm saying is I put numbers in here of estimates of what we may spend. That $50 increase for individual for the contracted ME services would vary that somewhat, but we don't have.
You don't know how many people are in.
I don't think you have to actually do a math and put $50 in. I think that what you do is you look at this and say, okay, this is about what we're spending. Mm-hmm. If we want, wanting to increase that to 200 is a separate issue to me. It's not a, it has to be budgeted issue.
Okay.
Are you clear?
Yes.
Okay.
When I met him a year ago, he said the one thing he might ever push for was an iPad because DPH was going to a new system for, and he thought maybe the examiners could do it out in the field, could, if they had an iPad, and upload it, and that would save some time. Saw him the other night. I asked him about that, and he said, no, it's a real mess. Even when I go out and I do, I don't even use it. He said, when I have to go out and do it, I don't have to go through the examination, do anything. He said, I bring the stuff back and I let somebody else enter it. Long story short is, it's taking them more time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he would come back. But he didn't ask. He didn't bring that up. But he might come back.
And that, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that contract comes to the board every, I think it's a two-year. So the Board of Supervisors has to appoint a medical examiner in Story County. Mm-hmm. And I think that he comes every 2 years to get that upped or renewed, if I'm not mistaken. Shelley's my master on that.
If you're not mistaken, we asked Linda to do that last year. I mean, at the beginning of 2019 calendar year. So that was Linda. We asked her.
He called and said he wanted the office and said he wanted to meet with his liaison.
Uh-huh.
And we all looked around and both you and Rick pointed at me.
Right. So it had
so
to
I
right.
became his liaison. Right. And what the conversation I had is one I just relayed.
Okay.
It was at his request. It wasn't specific. Supervisors said to me to do something other than meet with him.
So I guess my point is I feel like putting an amount in this line item gives you guys the flexibility to increase if you feel the need.
So
I'm
going
to pay for it. You're going to pay for it
right.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. I took the $54,100 and based upon about $2,000 for autopsy, this is 27 autopsies. So just to kind of reference.
Well,
so
I can't remember. What are our numbers now? Are they in
well,
the
Well, and that's just it. These are the autopsies from at the state medical examiner, the actual investigations and transport.
They used to be in the
80s. Yeah, 80 to 90 maybe per.
Yeah. Yeah, what we're talking about would be an investigations line item, not the autopsy.
Okay,
I think,
thank
I
you.
Think the 50 would be a minimal
impact. I do, too. I don't think the 50 would be a large impact. I
okay. Thank you.
And a note on this one also, if it's another county in Iowa that the resident that they live in, that they're a resident of, the code does allow us to bill that back to that county.
Interesting.
So I do bill back probably 6 to 8 a year to Hardin, Hamilton, Boone, Pope, depending on where the deceased is from.
How good are you getting payment then?
The only county I've ever had any problem from is Polk.
They're good at writing memos about it, though.
They have gotten better. I credit Jessica because Jessica has been very proactive about let's get along to play along when it comes to these. It is what the code says. You know, we also live in a county that has an interstate, so we have Texas and Missouri, Minnesota, and we have all those. The code doesn't give us any option to fill out those other states.
Do we get billed in return?
We have a few times. Again, Polk County will bill us occasionally.
Okay. Are you responsible for those folks from like Texas or?
Yeah. Is that the county just pays for those.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I tried to change that to the state medical examiner.
I remember it was probably 15 years ago now. We had one from Illinois, and so I just decided I looked up on the internet and I saw that Illinois was, you know, the state of Illinois. I went to the Department of whatever department would take care of that and tried to bill the state of Illinois. And they didn't send me a letter back going, ha, 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 but kind of.
My suggestion on this line item is we just leave it like it is. If we get a request again for the contracts to go up, we'll consider it at that time, and then we'll make any adjustments we need to.
We're
okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is the Emergency Management Agency funding request. The Emergency Management Agency downstairs is funded by a levy in the supplement. Not a separate levy. It is just levied in our supplemental fund in Story County. This is the request that they made, the amount of money they requested. Their funding, about 85% comes from this, and the other about 15% comes from federal. They get a $39,000 every year federal money. Okay, so as you can see, the request from the county is actually down this year a little bit. Linda, you went to that. Did you want to mention anything? Or did you...
No, it's the same.
Okay. Office rent, we talked about that already. Court costs, this is for indigent, basically. I've seen an uptick in that in the last couple of years. I want to, $2,500 is what I have budgeted this year. I think we're going to spend $10,000. And then next year, I just put it at $5,000. We're going to pay what we're going to pay. This is also out of the supplemental fund, if you'll notice. Juvenile court-appointed counsel. Many years ago, the state started billing us for juvenile, for things associated with juveniles. There's two basic places that we get billed. Well, there's two basic places. This comes from the state directly, and it's based on population and cases and numerous things. That 43.5 is actually what my bill is for this year. There's also a line item in the county attorney's budget for juvenile costs, and it is, they're budgeting about $20,000 this year. That's for all the publication and service and all that kind of stuff.
You pay that once a year?
Yeah. Yeah, I pay it once a year, and I wait until March when it's due, because, you know, we keep our money as long as possible. we haven't talked about asset, but asset.
Excuse me a second.
Yeah.
On page 57, between court-appointed counsel, juvenile, and asset, there's a medical care for $100,000, but I couldn't find it elsewhere.
It is in the on the sheriff's countywide. I didn't dump it in this one because I should have, and that's my bad. It is in the sheriff's budget. So last year was the first year the county decided to pull $100,000 out of his budget and put it into countywide because of unknowns and unplanned and it's over and above his contract.
Yeah.
So this would be like where I've kind of just been asking about the problem pregnancy.
Right.
As example.
Right.
So it is in the sheriff's countywide.
It's in countywide. It is in this budget. It's just in the description back there. You'll have you need to look in the sheriff's stuff
because
I've got countywide separate for him.
Okay. Great. I just was kind of going crazy trying to find it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just didn't know. You're going on to asset, pardon me.
Yeah, the asset. I kept the asset group separate. It's the requested amount, and then the whole asset group increase of 5%, like you guys.
We allocated a dollar less than what's listed
else would want to change.
Okay.
Dude around it.
5'10"?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Rounding is my nemesis.
Okay.
Homeward. The Homeward, the county public health has a contract with Homeward. This would be for, and the way, and Sandra can probably enlighten us a little too, but the way that Homeward contract works is they bill us, Homeward Hospice, not Hospice, Mary Greeley Health, Home and Health. I think they use other dollars, and then this is the dollars of last resort.
This was actually the one we were asking you about.
Right.
Information I have came from you.
Yeah, right. So this is an allocation that the county does to assist in that, and they draw it down sometimes monthly. So some counties have public health nurses on their payroll. Some people, they do it different than we.
We're one of the only ones that contract.
We've contracted with Homeward for our public health nursing services for as long as I can remember. The next one is the IDPH Community Grant Services. This is the password, pass-through with IDPH for the public health, the other additional public health services, healthy aging. They draw down again monthly. The best I can do is tell you what the current rate, current contract, the current IDPH allocation is, and that's what we budget until I know what next year's is. Immunization services. So where's the new grant that IDPH and Homeward come up with? And this is the new one for the year, apparently. It's immunization services. From the contracts I've gotten from public health, it looks like it's $15,667. Again, they do a drawdown and we pass it through. The next one is a request from Boris, if you'd like to talk about that one.
Sure. What I did is, you guys have seen my running spreadsheet before, and there's been various things that anticipated hearing maybe the Hunger Collaboration needs a few $100 to help print like the surveys, or maybe the Transportation Collaboration needs a few hundred for this or whatever. So I, on my running sheet, I have it at $2,500, okay? And then what I did is I added in extra money if we do go ahead and increase for the general and the veterans assistance. I understand that those are actually separate line items that we do kind of placeholders for in both community services, and we do placeholders in VA benefits. But when Carla and Brett are ready to bring that before us about maybe the possibility of that increase, they're calculating how much it would really mean if we had kept up with a 2% inflation rate since the last time we had raised our qualifying maximum incomes and our amount that we would pay out. So I just lumped them all together here, okay, as a placeholding amount in itself. And that's what just says various groups and asks, but it would include maybe if we went ahead and decided that it was time to update our general assistance and our VA assistance income guidelines and what we paid out.
So are you not wanting to add it?
I didn't put it there at the time. I'm happy to do that if we want to do it. Yes, they're not done doing their numbers. And so I just said, okay, if as a placeholder at 10,000. If you want to lower it a little bit, I think we've got at least, I estimated a maximum of the 5,000 it would be for both the general assistance and the VA together, just doing my own kind of extrapolation numbers, which are nothing official, okay? So then I estimated their total of $2,500 total for the Story County Housing needed some things printed to distribute, and they don't have it in their budget, for the Transportation Collaboration,
for the hunger collaboration, those various other collaborations. You may, United Way may, was yours in child care, may need something and ask for a few hundred dollars assistance there. It could be, Linda, with you also, the United Way collaboration given to the, I'm going to call it at-risk youth. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it. So that's what I was really looking at, and I just put them all in one number rather than try to guess at some things. So it is, if you want to look at it, it's also a miscellaneous. And I know we discussed we don't like miscellani or whatever. But so it's
to me it's more that it's not miscellaneous. To me, it's going back to the direction we gave other departments of if it's not a known cost to not budget it, and the supervisors, if it comes up, will try to find the money. And I guess I feel like that principle kind of fits here too.
Well, I guess there's the other side of the coin is just because we don't have the specific dollar amount, with the transportation collaboration and with the hunger collaboration, I have been keeping you informed about where they're headed on some surveys. Information, okay? So that is known. The known cost of printing, maybe $400, maybe $350. Are we going to get that close on those two? All right. You, for the child care collaboration and for the at-risk youth or that training, okay, for both of you, you've just gotten on those. So we don't know what the need would be, but we can anticipate, I would say that we can anticipate based upon how we know that the collaborations are operating right now, if they're not really being funded. Occasionally United Way can come up with a little bit of money, $1,000 here or whatever, and that's been what's happened. Or in the past, a couple times the groups have come back to former boards of supervisors for small dollar amounts. All right. So from that standpoint, and we know, as you guys know, I've kept you apprised that I have been asking for Brett and Carla to take a look at if we had actually kept up with a 2% inflation rate, where would our costs be when it came to general assistance? Is that unknown? I don't know how you literally pin everything, pin it down. We could drop it, but I think I've met that principle.
I think my only question is with it being lumped together.
Okay.
So do we have a line item somewhere for the general assistance or VA assistance? It was already in their budget.
Yeah. It's already in their specific budget.
Okay.
And their placeholder amount. $100, $100. Well, the rent is, okay, $64,000.
Okay. That when they went through that, yeah. They just put their
$100. So they are there.
And you would want to pay them out of each individual's primary.
Oh, yeah. Right. So if you want to move, I just don't know. I would then move maybe $3,000 over to the community services general one, just to kind of a guesstimate. Like I said, $5,000 is where I'm headed total with that, I think, and maybe $2,000 maximum into the VA for rent.
Do we know when they'd have some better?
I don't know when they're presenting them.
They were talking the end of January or early February.
Another time.
Yeah, I even was able to present with them. I did the work for years previous to 20, fiscal year, was it 2019, I think, or 2020, fiscal year 20, because we knew all of those, and I could go in and do the percentage calculation myself. It's actually about a 10.17%, I believe, to make up for that whole decade plus where we did nothing to raise them, okay? But for this fiscal year, they're needing to do some hand examination because they're also looking at the applicants who were denied that under the new guideline, if they've gone back, were in fact those,
And you're primarily talking housing costs.
Rent and utility assistance, exactly what they are doing now.
Okay, how might that new coordinator position, if we were to fund that, fit in there in terms of making better use of the various resources that are around the community?
This is money that's all paid to third parties. This is either rent subsidy themselves, okay, or it's utility subsidy. It's not, what is happening now, as Carla discussed, the housing services coordinator position, is that person would just be more of a one-stop shop rather than the people having to bounce around to Good Neighbor and then ERP or whatever. But so that makes it an ease on the agencies and an ease on the clients, but it does not affect funds required to actually pay out for rent. So these are third, we pay the third parties.
So this would allow them to serve more families.
That's what I'm asking.
The VA talked about threshold. At their last meeting.
Yeah.
They increase that threshold. Some may qualify. So
some may qualify.
To determine if that threshold has been increased, how many of the denials would have qualified and we would have paid that.
Right.
Is what I think, Laura.
Correct, exactly. And so going back on previous years, I was able to kind of come up with this about the payout would have been about 10% more. And that's where I came up going forward about the 5,000. I mean, until they're done with their number crunching, it is. But that is exactly it. It's what we would do is just to have kept up with inflation. So to Lisa's question, sure, we can go ahead and shove in. I would recommend 3,000 or 4,000 in community services, and VA doesn't get that many requests, so maybe 1,000 or 1,500. That would drop this amount down. And then the 2,500 I've estimated for collaborations, like I said, I'm aware that I still think we're going to get requests for at least $1,000, and I don't know what will come out of your groups.
I would be more to look at into those individual line items versus right here. I think this is just a little too ambiguous in my opinion. I think the amount might be too large as well.
Okay.
I think there are very small requests, a couple hundred dollars here and there, that we're capable of finding that money rather than budgeting that money. And it's, again, something we, you know, may or may not happen. Do you have any month numbers?
Well, I guess I would look more, and I'm just going back after trying to remember from last week when, like, Carla was before us, and just remembering that it was a placeholder, so thanks for reminding me on that. I do know that they get a fair amount of requests for rent and utilities.
Over 1,000 a year.
Yeah. I know that they do that. So it may be good to add some additional general assistance. It's just, it would have been really nice if their presentation was like tomorrow versus late. I know it's just timing.
I mean, I asked for this 3 months ago, so
yeah, it would just help. In my opinion, would just help with a little bit more specific numbers on here. And I know that. Sorry, my stomach is growling. I know that, Lisa Markley, you need more specific numbers so that we can have it all together and for publishing and everything.
If the board would change it, is there anything with them coming back? I mean, coming back and saying now that we changed it, we're $2,500. Our projected expense was we need to amend. I mean, just like anything else at that point, or. It's just such an unknown, and I know that they have been working on it. It's just a lot of information to get through.
We can even do this later. That's a good point. If we make the decision that, yes, we want to change that, that pretty much means that we're obligated to go back and fund the money.
So
I hate to get the money in there before we make the decision.
Where I am kind of on more the general budget, the budget itself, all right, is I ran last night, I just did the quick calculations. If we took this year's, we've been saying all along, we're looking at the fiscal year 21 projections were on based upon no more tax askings. So now what I did is I went back and I ran on the supplemental and I ran on the rural. If we use the levy rate of what we're using right now into the next year. So in other words, that would be more tax askings because we've got more valuation. And I didn't come up with enough money to fund everything by a long shot. Okay. And so that's why as in this 10,000 here, moving it into the ones, if we move the money now, it helps on calculation. I agree that in its entirety, even the 10,000 is not a large sum compared to our $45 million budget. But I'm just trying to pin in items where they need to be, just like we've asked the departments to do. So,
I'm sorry, it's a Monday, so I've got to think on this. Mm-hmm. So, in like the community services, they have a placeholder already in there.
64,000.
Mm-hmm. So they could come back if they need an increase beyond that.
They can ask later.
Right, so they could do that. And is there anything in the VA budget as a placeholder?
Yeah.
Pretty much all of
them. That's what I can, yeah.
Right. So what it would be, if we take this 10,000 out, you're right. People could come back and ask, okay? Reminder right now, initial projections have the calculations for Lisa right at, we're at 25%, 24 point something percent for the general fund ending fund balance. Whereas in the other budget years that I've participated in, okay, we've had ending fund balances at 31% for the general fund or whatever, if we go back and look, we needed to spend down. This whole budget as projections, as Lisa is run right now, is already projecting us spending down. So we would be taking, if everything costs exactly what we anticipated, if we funded at least all the requests at their amounts or whatever. So we'd be looking at, rather than 25%, we're already at 24 something, and if we got another 10,000 in additional requests, we'd be a little lower on the 24 point whatever, the point percent. So I tried to follow the same directions. I guess I viewed them a little bit differently about knowing if they'd already come forward or we knew they were in the works, as opposed to a miscellaneous training where they didn't even know if it was coming up yet. That was the difference in my mind. But if you two want to take it out, there's something else I'm much more interested in fighting for than this 10,000, because yes, we could handle that through the year.
Can we take it out with the understanding that not having it in here doesn't mean we're not going to seriously consider the request?
Mm-hmm.
If we grant the request, we'll go back and look at amendments.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Sure.
Okay. Or request. So maybe more than one request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
On to page 48 then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify here, transportation. It's HRDA additional funding. It says buses in operation, but it's not for additional HRDA operation, okay? It is instead for, that's not true, because we know that there's going to be a decrease in aging resources number. So if we want to keep the program for seniors funded, like we did this year, and provide whatever the 7% is, I guess that would be a little bit operations, okay? But really what this is for is the next round of buses, if in fact there is a next round of buses. Typically what has happened in the past is HRDA gets so many buses, it's released for the entire state about how many buses are available for purchase, what there's a state, with the state grant money, et cetera. And it's more typical that we get asked for about somewhere between 27,000 and 35,000 to buy new buses to be used in Story County to replace the aging fleet, not the 99,000 that we got asked for this year. That was a special additional money from the state. So I put the 35,000 in for that, and I didn't even know about the 7%.
I'm confused, mm-hmm. because there's no numbers there for 19, 18, or 17. Did we not?
They don't request every year.
Right.
I thought you just said they didn't usually.
So they don't request every year. It's every other year. Is that what it is?
Not even that.
Okay.
So if there's 3 years in a row, there's no request there. So that's
okay.
Why I'm asking.
I
just said they requested.
Yeah,
it was
my understanding they requested, but that, okay,
well,
let's back up. Then we can take that out, and what it is HRDA requests every year. And I have, and not what you're saying, I know we deal with the requests on the HRDA board. We deal with requests, but I thought that it was being requested every year from us too.
So that 35 you requested that go in?
I did. So we can take out, we can leave 5. I think we're going to have to with aging resources.
Yeah, I'd have to pull my sheet because I know that they dropped all by 7%, and it's in my office. I just didn't bring the numbers along.
Well, if that's what they want. Okay, so the buses can come out, and then it's whatever is left over for aging resources.
So you want 5,000 in there?
Yeah, if you want, I can run back to my office and pull out what the reduction was.
I think that's what we about gave, wasn't it?
3,500.
Okay. So, the 7% reduction is off of what was reduced in 20, correct, Lisa?
Yes, I'm going to go grab it real quick.
Okay.
Wait,
all right.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for hanging with us, Joby. We'll get to you eventually.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
Still no food.
So I'm just thinking about the buses, the herd of buses still. Because I swear we heard a request in 2017.
Well,
I understand that that's not a mention. We didn't do it. Well, I mean, we've always done it. I want to say for $27,000.
I think one time the 99,000 Deb and I looked, it had been like, I don't know how many years since they've requested it.
So okay. I trust you with your research.
So we thought that was one because they hadn't raised. So it got amended to 101 and the reestimated is 136. How did we get up to 136 from 99?
I'm trying to think of what that included. Did that include that?
That one-time special position.
One-time operating stuff you guys
did. Right.
Like they were going to then move into their...
Right.
Sorry.
That was that part-time marketing and...
Yeah. I was thinking that was 30,000. I was thinking... What? I can't remember.
20.
20?
Didn't we go with 20 for the part-time one? Yeah, we did not go with
the I think that sounds right.
Yeah, it was 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So then we got up to 36. We got about another... 37,000 in there. I thought it was only 3,500 for the aging resources. Did you find it?
In fiscal year 20, they were awarded 34,317. With a 7% reduction for fiscal year 21, it'll be 31,915. Now, I will add that they requested, and this is for a heard a story only that I'm looking at, they initially requested 42. And they're being awarded 31,915.
So
what was the 37 though?
There was nothing. There was a 34,317. That's what was awarded in fiscal year 20.
So there's a $10,000 plus gap.
Right. Okay. Right. They requested for fiscal year 21, 42, but they're only going to get 31,9. For fiscal year 21. That's with a 7% reduction.
That's a lot for a county to
backfill.
It is a lot for a county to backfill.
10,000, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do the 5,000, I think that would be more appropriate versus the 10. That just keeps them, you know, pretty close to where they were for fiscal year 20. At least they're not losing any more than where they were at fiscal year 20.
Okay.
Loris, do you know, they had that fire over in Boone. Mm-hmm. Now, was that all their, was those their old, not
they were old,
buses?
They were only being used for salvage use.
Not for general.
Not for general. No, these things were, they'd already been partially salvaged.
Okay.
Not for trade-in, but I mean,
thank you.
Okay.
So the next one is the IDSA grant, substance abuse grant, that moved from the juvenile court budget to the countywide budget a few years ago. It's pass-through dollars with YSS.
And is this, goes straight to YSS? This isn't the one that goes through AFET as well?
Straight YSS.
Okay, thank you.
And it's been 10,000. The whole contract is 40. They pay 30.
their portion is 30, the county's portion is 10,000, and like I said, it's
passed through.
Consultant fees, I did not put anything in there. I saw no requests in the current year for any of these specific types of things. The current year has FY20 has 87.5. I have not seen any claims come through at all for any of these things.
I've not done any of that. No. So it doesn't mean it won't be, but I don't know. I wasn't part of coming up with that number, and I think we can find some things that are no cost or very low cost to get some information on these topics.
So my question is, going back to the Prairie Rivers contract we approved, is that part of this 87.5?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right. So then...
wait a second.
I think it
is. This water, it was the water quality testing contract for Prairie Rivers.
Yeah.
Where did we put that? I don't know.
I think this
is the conservation budget.
We move, okay, so this original request was for FY20 was $12,500, which was Leanne's figures, and then we moved $75,000 in FY20 from the conservation budget to this line item, okay? So that $75,000 that Mike had requested in his budget was for Watershed Management Authority collaboration. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now
that is, you're right.
Your final, your actual question of where is the Prairie Rivers? I don't know where that came from.
I think it's in here. I think this was something that this is exactly. In fact, this has been the first, what I would say, active strategy. That the Watershed Collaboration or our Watershed Group has brought forward. It was Prairie Rivers and the Monitoring. Hasn't that been discussion that's been going on there?
But it's not WMA Collaboration. That's where I'm struggling. I think it went through Conservation. That's
the original request from Mike was Watershed Coordination and Outreach for 50 and payments to landowners for 25, and that's the 75 that got moved.
Okay. Payments to landowners and watershed collaboration. Now, okay. Do you think that this is just an error of the same Watershed Management Authority collaboration, that being in there, when really that's a broader watershed collaboration entirely?
I think what we just need to decide is if
$75,000 got added to last year's project and expense at some point.
Right.
Yeah,
it was
removed from conservation's budget from 81 or 82 on conservation's budget. Mm-hmm. It's budgeted for watershed coordination and outreach, $50,000 in payments to landowners, $25,000. I put it in countywide general fund at the direction of the board when we were doing the countywide.
Mm-hmm. So going back to the watershed group, because the watershed group was decided to be to be increased, that'll come up later here also, and the board appointed additional members to it then from the original four. So my thought is I don't hear any program coming from the watershed group, implementation group, that is going to be paying landowners by June 30th of this year. Linda, do you? Okay.
No. I simply told them I think there's enough programs out there, and if we get the coordinator, what we need to have that person doing is knowing the programs and referring them rather than us taking over that obligation.
Okay, so we know we're down 25 for sure. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other 50,000 is general collaboration, and I'm back to if we can't seem to identify anywhere else where that Prairie Rivers contract is, then I would say this Prairie Rivers contract is in here then.
Well, I'm looking at the, I'm trying to look through the conservation expenses right now.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but it's taking quite a while. I think we need to get back. I think we need to check that, but not take time right now, but just make a note to check and see where we're paying the Prairie Rivers contract, if it's in conservation or it's here. And if it's here, we should leave the money under consultant fees here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I said, I left it at 87.5 for sake of argument for re-estimation.
Mm-hmm.
It's re-estimation. That's in the budget.
Right. Okay.
But my next question was, I assume nothing goes in next year because we're not sure what.
I didn't receive anything.
We didn't get anything.
Well, the Prairie Rivers contract we're paying out of this year. Did Mike? Well, let me call Mike, okay?
Okay.
I'll call Mike and see if it's in conservation for next year or if not, because I think it would be an ongoing expense. I don't think it's just
worth
it. Yeah.
How much was the contract?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
And it was on, yeah, they was on, because remember I questioned about, you know, just 10 years out, do all those entities know that really the plan is it's a 10-year plan? So, yeah.
If what's a 10-year plan?
The Prairie Rivers contract. Even though it's only 1 year, it's setting the base for what is hoped to be a 10-year monitoring program. There also then we have the $12,500 that Leanne had put in for outreach and floodplain management.
Well,
and there's nothing this year.
Planning and development, correct? So that
I'm sorry, Alyssa, I didn't hear it.
The countywide stuff for floodplain management.
We'll cover that.
No, it was put in planning and development, correct, Lisa? They budgeted for all.
Thank
them.
You. Okay.
I think since that. It was transitioned over to them,
yes.
That's more appropriate.
Correct. Than, okay.
Because I think that was on her. Her list of budget items. I'm pretty sure it was put in there.
So I would say we know we're down 37.5 of that. So we're down to the 50,000, even for fiscal year 20 re-estimation.
The next two garbage services for recycle papers that require mm-hmm. inspection. That's what the code tells us we have to budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then housing grants again.
So we are aware that there are some programs coming up that hopefully one at least will be launched this spring. And that is a program I told you briefly about. We haven't seen it yet in its entirety, but it is actively being worked on with the Chamber and USDA driving it. And what it would be is would be for starter housing out in the smaller counties, okay? USDA would be providing the loans. The thought is that it would be working with one developer who would be coming in, and it's kind of, it's a high-end prefab program, but they'd be looking at houses in the $150,000 range, okay? So that would be, it is unknown whether the county would be asked to participate or not in it yet, as they're still putting it together. But I, quite frankly, this $150,000, I tried every year in the budget to get it as a placeholder here in the budget, so that when there are finally found housing programs that we might be able to go ahead and at least help on a grant basis or a pilot program basis. Okay, the other thing that we know that is happening is there's discussions between AMOS and now, in fact, there's a discussion between AMOS and NOM and ERP that's occurring at 2 o'clock this afternoon down in Des Moines, and I've asked about if I could come along to listen. My concern about, or my wanting to listen to this is NOM is going to talk about how they do their Housing First program. And given what we now know about what's happening with even service coordination through YSS and the region, that how would we even help participate in that if there was a Housing First launch and we were asked for money? And so if you recall that when there was an AMOS update that we all attended for information purposes only, That Carla had already spoken to someone from Anawim who gave the seminar that two of us went to, Lynn and I were at, okay, back in February, I think it was, of 2019, and that the actual housing costs are broken out to about $1,000 a month per participant. The other part of any kind of program they launch, it sounds like, would then be paying for a staff member to oversee these people, to oversee the people who'd be in housing first. And I think that rolls us right back into service coordination and CICS having the ball there. But so there could be an anticipated request that we might be able to handle from Amos and Anna Women. They're now actively talking. There is also, as I briefly, I think, mentioned before, but Steve, I'm trying to get, just by the date, for Story County Medical leadership, Steve Shanker, and possibly Anawim's president to get together to look at doing some kind of low-income housing tax credit application that then would go into the competition pool for what I believe will be September of this, of 20. Actually, it'll be after, and we'd have to roll this money forward on this project, but for 2021. Okay, and that would then create some LIHTC-funded low-income housing tax credit housing that would be created both in Nevada and in Ames. So once again, we know these are on the plate, and this is not a small dollar amount. Okay, the $150,000 I put in here is going to be possibilities of being asked for it. My anticipation about the ask coming if Native Veda and Ames work together is that getting a developer, a low-income developer and a low-income aggregator for the tax credits might be a little difficult until there is actually an asbestos study done on the original building down there at the block, the original building on that campus. And that has not been done because of fear of cost. And I actually, part one of the people who told me that was Alyssa's brother, okay, who works at Story County Medical Facilities Manager. So these are all things that we might anticipate, I really feel, coming forward on asks. So my statement and my question here right now is, do we want to continue like we have done, said, oh, we need affordable housing, oh, we need to address the housing crisis, but we're not willing to set aside any money to do it, or do we want to actually just keep this $150,000 here in case this is re-estimated money, so it would be out of this year, even if we move it forward, that would allow us to help facilitate one of these projects, or maybe a couple of them, to move forward.
My one question that I have is, we have the housing study that's to take place. I don't know when is the RFP going out. You know, we put forth to have the study done to know the need. I understand. We know that there's a need out there. I don't disagree, and I've heard it when I've talked with people out there. Part of me is like, but we put money to complete the broader sense of the study so that we have a better handle on things as to where to target our money. So I'm a little conflicted with that, Laura, not because I don't think it's a good thing. It's just that we had said before, we needed to have the study to have that better understanding of what's needed there.
So I know that the chamber's working diligently with the woman from USDA who's on their advisory board in some way. I know they really want to try and launch this spring. They're trying to make the Nevada, they're trying to make the Burke hiring that'll happen, okay? So also, if we don't know right now whether the Housing First project, if Anawim can come together with ERP, it sounds like ERP is very anxious to go on this. They're already trying to work on themselves, and they want to know how they can bring Anawim in. Those two might actually launch before the study is done. The third one project would be something that would move into, if Iowa Finance Authority keeps the same submission start deadlines. It's a multi-month process, okay? Mm-hmm. We're looking at them having those aggregators having to have a lot of their information ready in the first intent. The intent filed in September, which means that if we were to be asked on the front end by Story County Medical to help them get better ascertain what in fact they've got over there for aggregators, that would happen before the study's done. These are all things I don't want to say unfortunately. These are just things that, well, yes, we know the housing study. The housing study is there for broader, also saying where can we get more housing in some of these smaller communities and what really will be our long-term needs. But these are all projects that are already being worked on and may, in fact, come to us before that housing study is done and saying we've got to get a go.
That hurdle one could be anticipated might be if and may in this discussion.
What is the harm of setting this money aside?
We have to levy for it.
Not this year, the fiscal year estimate, we already levied for it.
But you already said we're going to be short next year. And this is money that could be freed up for others to make it less short.
Like I said, are we going to get behind housing here? I fought for 3 years to have us stop saying, oh, we're so worried about housing and affordable housing, and not do one single thing to help bring it to reality.
I don't mind spending money if we should spend money. I just want us to spend money in the best way, and that's why I have said previously I would support it if we had a housing study completed. And that's why I said, let's do a study so we know the best use of the money. So we know how we can really use the money, put it to the best, and get the best bang for the buck. That's what I told you, I would support a housing study. And I did. I hear that one of these projects would rely on USDA loans. If it's a loan project, I'm not sure where there would be any.
It would be the individual homeowners if they gave the USDA loans.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There may be, once again, if we're approached, it'll be for startup costs. You're right, there's lots of ifs here. And if we don't set aside some money to be able to say yes to somebody, you know, it took way too long to get this housing program, to get the housing study approved, all right? I mean, you know, Nevada was chomping. They almost looked at paying for one themselves. They're chomping. We've got needs out there. So if we're not going to build the capacity into the budget, the previous boards following exactly the same principles we're looking at too, and looking at 3-year averages and everything, have built capacity in knowing what was coming. And I guess this is a knowing what was coming. We all know there's a housing problem. I just listed 3 ways that it might be useful this year, or we roll it into fiscal year 21, which is after the housing study. But we know what's coming, and it's going to take all of us at the table.
And we also know that things come up that we just don't anticipate. And I guess my preference would be that we have a budget that doesn't earmark for certain things, but we know we've got some flexibility in that budget. So when things come up, we're able to say, you know, Lisa's able to say to us, yeah, that's it. There's enough money in here. We're doing well enough on this budget that we can find some money.
Well, I know my general philosophy is to be externally focused, okay, not internally focused on wants, all right, but to be externally focused on what we know or need. So whether the question will be is what's coming up unanticipated in this next year, we already know these are coming up. So, yes, so I guess that's it. I'm saying, are we going to finally put our money where our mouths have been, or some of our mouths have been, and maybe that's it. So you don't want it in this year. so that if Story Medical needs some help paying for that asbestos study, or if it turns out the chamber needs some money to help get this project started, which is the goal, is it for it to be actually self-sufficient after the first few applications are in on that, or if this discussion this afternoon actually does result in Anawim and ERP being able to start to move forward on housing first. We're going to have to tell them, sorry, you're on your own. Of the three, I think the AMOS, the housing first one, is the one most likely to go, because I believe the discussion will be focused on scattered sites, which are getting some apartments.
I didn't say, no, you're on your own. I would say let us see what we can do. I see a big difference there.
I have a question, but it kind of goes into the next line item, but it seems like it's all kind of together. So can you explain to me a little bit the housing rehab and development?
That is actually not a housing study. This is the Story County Housing Trust Fund. So we need to change this.
Okay.
So we gave $10,000. I have been, it's been made repeatedly requested to me, and along with the pointing out the expectation from several other members of the Story County Housing Trust Fund Board, that housing trust funds in the other counties that are up and running, and in fact for the newest one, which is over the Boone and Warren, et cetera, those four counties, that the counties are the primary funder. What has happened with our housing trust fund so far is that the city of Ames has been the primary funder, the largest funder. So I was requested to increase our donation. So this is what it is. It's an additional $25,000 that would go into the Story County Housing Trust Fund, which would then be leveraged at a 4-to-1, assuming that we continue to get a share of that housing trust fund pot from the state. And that this would be used right now, the two programs, and anticipated it will be the programs for fiscal year 21 also. One is a rent assistance program. The other one are homeowner-occupied repairs to keep people in their homes. So, yes. So that one has been requested, whispered in my ear, smiled at, not smiled at across the board table with the Story County Housing Trust Fund, is they'd like us to up our game.
So we haven't had a written request?
No. Is my word not good enough?
We can certainly do that. This is the first time I've heard of it.
No, I didn't mention this before.
So
that was my only question,
because
both said housing studies.
I mentioned this before several times. This has started as soon when we brought forward the request for this year for the $10,000. I think that was the first time I pointed out that they're pointing out next year they would like the county to step up more to keep it.
My mistake, then, sir.
Okay, thanks for the clarification between the two, since they both said housing study on there.
$150,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'm conflicted, quite honestly, on that. Not because I don't think it is a worthy cause to do, and whether fiscal year 20 or 21 is the right, or whether $150,000 is the right amount or not. I think my confliction is I didn't have like information ahead of time, and we've got the housing needs study. Which, unfortunately, has taken you 3 years to get that part passed, because that would be nice to have that information. just because we don't know what type of exact housing is needed. I mean, we've heard from some of the communities where they said, you know, gosh, we can build a house to be affordable, but you add a basement to it, and that adds $30,000 more to it. So are you looking at, just a main level home with no basement? Are you looking at potential manufactured? Are we, is it more for single? Is it multifamily? We don't know. And
right.
Unfortunately, we don't know on that amount. So definitely I'm excited to have that more information. The housing grant city with the USDA and the chamber, I think that is a great thing that they're going forth with. Excuse me. $150,000 is a lot of money to put in, and I know it takes a lot to put forth, but if that's, even if we wanted to put a smaller amount in to just say, okay, we're putting something in case they do come for us, but recognizing that we really need a Story County study because we only have really for Ames. We don't know what all the other areas are at. I'm back and forth with it. I'm just quite honestly speaking out loud because I'm just, you're also accountable when people say, okay, you're putting money towards something. We know housing's a need, but we don't know the extent, we don't have the broader sense of that data. That's my only concern, and that comes from my 17 years in the legislature of just being that data person, of just wanting all that information. So that's where I'm just kind of struggling at, and I just feel like I need to ponder that just a little longer.
Okay, so we're not making a decision yet. It goes on the ponder list.
For me, right? Yes. I can
support that.
I need a revisit on that one.
Okay. So then the increase from 10 to 35,000 for the housing trust fund, how do you feel about that?
I do remember Laura bringing that to the board before and talking about that and the need for that. So really, I don't have a problem with that because I do remember her talking about that.
Okay, and that's my bad that I don't. Let's leave that in then. That's fine. And the housing study won't continue into next year. If it does, we'll carry the money. So that's good. We've got that in there.
I think the proposals that the consultants were presenting tomorrow range from about 60,000 to over 90,000.
Okay.
So you don't think 60 is enough in this?
Okay. Well, it depends on who's chosen, I guess. So one of them is around 90,000.
Okay.
The other two are much closer to the
60.
Right.
I'd say let's leave that at 60.
Yeah, let's leave it for now.
But thank you for the info. We'll watch that. Then on to economic development.
The first amount here of the 45,000 for workforce development can go back down to 40. The 5,000 I added was estimated 5,000 if the regions for Wyoa had to change and there was not enough for that fund. Now the way we are, we're not going to need the extra 5,000. Okay, even if we switch regions later on, it's going to be okay for us. Yeah, to not have to. So we can go back to 40 on that.
40 on the whole thing.
Because I've heard nothing from at discussions at the. When we were working on the budget at the AEDC, I heard nothing about any kind of increased request there related to workforce development. I think they're going to try and get other partners more involved. Okay. Home-based Iowa is a placeholder, pretty much, the applications. The amount contracted for small communities for economic development assistance, this $47.5, well, the $42.5 we've got in this year's budget, that's one half of the contract for Dustin. okay? And as I mentioned before, at the board table, that when they did their final accounting and they came to us, I think, at the end of June, we saw that there were $10,000 of expenses that were associated to really soliciting for Story County in its entirety in that position that Dan had woven into other parts of his budget, you know, to make up for. So basically, the Economic Development Commission paid for about $10,000 of expenses that should have been billed to us, okay? So I didn't know where else to put this, so I just put the 47.5 as half. And if you go down to the next line, the other half of that 10,000 is down there also in the 47.5, and that's related to the fact of that other, you know, the other expenses. So I anticipate our contract that will come before us in June for the next fiscal year will go ahead and include an increase from the 85,000 to 95,000, and it's really not paying dust and all that extra money. It's more covering the cost.
So since we've just wove the two together under economic development, it looked like in fiscal year 20 it was 67.5 and it's down to 47.
Yeah, and the other $20,000, so Lisa, can you help me with that? Funding for small communities, is that also where the facade grant comes from? Okay, so that's where I got, even I was like, okay, I only know about this 47.5 contract. I'm on page 58 with the explanation, so I'm unclear where that other 20 is coming from for us, this fiscal year estimate.
Okay, I just noticed the $20,000 difference,
yeah.
And I was just trying to figure out.
Right. And you're right, I just noticed it too.
In 19, we used 55 here, so that's above the 47.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 so far, we used 32.5. So I don't know what.
Okay, let's see what I have for
We increased them by 15,000 in 19. And now we're looking at another 10.
The workforce development grant, or the workforce development grant was requested. It used to be 30. We got a 15,000 request on that, and we funded it.
Yes.
It looks like.
Right. And I'm wondering if it wasn't 25 to 40. Are you still 30 there? But I thought
it was 20. So originally 30 in the 19 budget.
Okay.
And it was increased by 15 to
40. By 15. Because.
And then we added 5,000 for reload grants. And the relocation grants are dependent on how many requests we
have. Yeah, we're going
over. That's going to do that.
Okay, yeah.
Right, but you have the reload grants up above.
Yeah.
They're there for
10,000.
Well,
yeah. I'm looking at both line items.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'm still kind of confused the difference between the economic development for 8199, the $20,000 difference.
Did we give some actual money out of the funding for small communities?
I'd have to go look at that.
Okay. That would be like the smaller that wasn't covered by the URA, the request we had that we discussed earlier on economic development. They'd be equivalent to Story City and Nevada's request. out of the amount. That's the only thing I can think about is we, the previous board.
The money we gave to Troy City, the previous board gave to Troy City that they didn't use.
No,
that was only a couple thousand dollars.
This is, we're looking at actual spent for 17.
Right, I would think, that would have to
be. I'd have to go run those. I'd have to go run those account line items and see what the differences are.
So are we thinking that potentially into that area, that it was maybe a one-time expenditure?
Yeah.
So
that's what I think it was at one time.
Right. So let's for now leave it at
47.5. No, that's the point. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure something wasn't missed in there.
But we also have a $10,000 additional ask between those two.
Right.
Tell me again why the 45 and over force development went down to 40, Laura's.
I believe that's the amount of our contract. I put 5,000 in, not for the AADC. I put 5,000 in because at the time the budgets were due. Okay, that it looked like the new region we were being forced to go to under the Workforce Innovations Act. We were not all of the counties in that new region. We're going to probably have to kick in a little bit of money to help the transition funding to keep services going.
So now that's not going.
That's not going that way. And I'm not aware of AADC wanting to increase their contract again for workforce development.
So then MELO grants can stay the same with the 10,000. Uh-huh. The additional 10,000 combined in those 47.5s, those two 47.5s.
No, it would be just the 5,000. So it
it's 5,000
and 5,500.
And it's 5,000 and 481.
That contract right now is 85,000, and I'm suggesting we take it to 95,000. But the reason we're raising it to 95,000 is because it ended up about 10,000 in expenses that Dan put through general AADC.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So that's 5 and 5. Okay. So, and I believe the 85,000 has been a valid amount
since we increased it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
From 70.
Correct. It's no. Yeah. So it's the yeah.
So you're looking at an overall for 408 instead of the 102.5 to be 97.5.
Correct.
And then economic development,
yes,
going down from 67.5 to 47.5.
Yes.
So I'm looking at a 17. We spent 67.
I'll have to run those numbers, Linda, to see what kind of costs there were. But the contract, Loris is right on what the contracts are and where they're at.
Okay.
So,
and I'm not even thinking about the difference between the 47 and the 67. What I'm just looking at is the increase in the line item since 17.
Okay. Yeah.
And saying we're making smaller increases in line items such as asset, which go to people who have their backs against the wall, so to speak, trying to get services. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I can look at that much of an increase in economic development when I know that AEDC has some other funding sources. And yes, that's great they put it towards this, but I would look at, I don't know what their other funding sources are and if they're appropriate to be paying Dustin's salary as well as county money. I just feel like that's an awfully large increase in a few fiscal years compared to what we increased assets.
And I will give you the response I know from. I hear what you're saying, Linda. I have some concerns myself about how we just put asset agencies through, and I'm going to say it, the ringer, okay, for small increases while we don't do the same amount of scrutiny. I can tell you since 2017, the amount of scrutiny that's been done, at least by one seat on this board, has been more related to ABC. Now, back to your comment and the concern there. Yes, the amount of what we are paying Dan's response to, you know, we say Dustin's salary, but Dan is saying we're getting the whole AEBC staff. And that sometimes that is true, especially with their recent three alignments in the last, I think, 6 or 8 months, okay, about people changing jobs and shifting, all right, that is true, okay, that we really are getting the staff because staff assignment on that. So I understand what you're saying. My shift is back to, yeah, if we cover the gap in the expenses, but we say is, wait a minute, Dustin or your staff work on other things, and we know that, right? So how much of this really should be attributed to the other people at AADC? That's your statement, right? It should, do we really do a request that works out to 10% plus?
No, I don't think that's what it says at all.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
No. What I was saying was that I don't know what the rest of their budget looks like in terms of other sources of funds they have that cover this that may be quite appropriate, and maybe the county doesn't need to think about. I mean, they didn't say we're not going to do this unless the county gives us $10,000.
No, they did not say that. No,
they seem to be. That was just information that, oh, by the way, we have supplemented that. So to go and say, well, we may need to find $10,000, I don't see the need right now.
So I do have back on my desk the budget for them. Okay, we could put this to the side and I could go, we could go get copies made for them, or do you, if you're interested.
I'd be interested to see.
Uh-huh.
I'd like the information maker though.
Yeah, okay. Let me go grab that.
Okay.
Through
there. Okay. Let's see. We're on page 48. We've got a still ways to get through. Sorry. I'm not moving as fast. I'm trying.
Pause.
Yeah.
Fun sport.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I said, I haven't closed my mind on that there's a need or whatever. But
uh-huh.
No, he didn't mention that to me.
Okay.
But no, I'll just wait till you can find the information.
Yeah, let me find the information.
Yep.
Are we back recording?
Okay. So is there anything else then would you like, Linda? Would you like an assessment of how much you think just Dustin is spending, or are you... I just want to give you the right information.
Just a second.
And I'm sorry that it's in one of my piles.
No, it's...
That's okay. I just... It was handed out in December, okay, and I thought I had the December folder on my desk. So instead, no, I know which particular high pile is. I really just need to kind of sort out, but I didn't know this, you know, that would be where we're headed here.
What page were we on? I got my
458.
Yeah. I think I just lost a page. It's gone. It's in the stack. Okay, yeah, let me share with you things so we get through this. Thank you. Yeah, it was right there. Okay, so what we're doing is 408.99 and 481.99. 5,000 each, we're just putting on the list. We're back at. Okay.
So, in fact, in general, I'd like to know exactly, because, you know, what exactly is going to be required. I'm serious about this, because I thought briefing the board at the board table, having discussions when we look and see, like back in June when we saw that they were short on their budget, et cetera. So I thought that that would be the information. So instead, apparently I'm missing formal requests. And so I just want to make sure I know what it is that any of my requests are going to need here. But certainly on this one, I'll give you the budget here and stuff. But I don't know what to do other than Dan coming in and making his case for you on that. I am comfortable with what we're paying now. I think we get our money's worth. Mm-hmm. And all I was adding in was, and after discussions at the ABC, the executive committee about, okay, people need to be paying their share. So this is what I put in.
Okay, I had not heard that comment before. I've not heard it from Dan either. So I guess I'm just saying, it's a wants versus needs thing. I don't know. I'm looking at the fact. I think it's a prioritization that we have to do. We also have staff requests that we haven't dealt with yet.
Correct. We also have insurance, and I've got a list here about some of the things Lisa brought up about Mike is going to need money. I mean, there's no question. We have a long gap. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So I'm saying when we've got essential services that we're talking about, and we haven't really talked about yet the sheriff's deputies, we haven't talked about the request from the attorney's office. I'm just saying at this point, I'm not willing to leave this in, an increase on an economic development contract, when we haven't decided those things. That's where I am. I'm thinking this is of lesser priority than some of the essential services.
That's fine. Okay, if you want to take them and leave them the way they are, that's fine. That's fine. They tell ADC, sorry, we can't afford any increase, including for your expenses. You'll need to work it out yourself or about how you're allocating your staff. I'm not going to, like I said, I fought for what my thing was and I said up front, okay? So do you want to leave them that way?
Sure.
Okay, what you've got right now?
Personally, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the rest of the budget. Mm-hmm. I put them as, I start them as kind of my placeholder to go back to, and I'd rather leave them there to go back to.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
I think that works.
I'll try to make an extra break. It shouldn't take long. Economic development retip. That's the 161.7 I was talking about. I put it in there for spending the urban renewal.
Thank you.
Historical society. This is for the 12.
Lisa, I'd like to go back just on the urban renewal, though. However, we could take some of those dollars and put it toward one of our own projects also, correct?
Is what we approved at the board meeting.
Oh, got it.
These ones are the approved.
Never mind. Sorry about that.
Yep.
Never mind. Okay. Yep. Sorry.
Historical societies. That's for the 12 societies at $3,500 per. 4-H fair. Same as last year. $57,500 contribution to the Historic County Fair. For the code, you pay out of this line, or you pay out of the general fund for that. And it's the Board of Supervisors' preference. The next one is office equipment and furniture. There's basically, that's a $50,000 expense that I show in the assigned funds when it's all said and done, because we're putting $50,000 away every year for new equipment. New
election
equipment that we spent
however
many years ago.
So when are we? Sorry, you go first.
Go ahead.
So when do we anticipate having to repurchase, and where do you hope that fund balance is with that, or that balance is?
We spent $575 in FY16, which
your case was. Well, we try to have it last as long as we can. I think we were thinking,
We would like to have it go 10 years, but we don't know that we can do that. We're going to have redistricting, which will kick in 2022. Will we have the same number of precincts? We'll try, but I'm not sure. And then there's some direction going with overall equipment design where they don't want us to have a separate piece that's ADA compliant. They want everything to be one piece. So, you know, I'm hoping not to have to come back here and buy new equipment for another 3 or 4 years at least, but I don't know if I can make that promise.
This is $50,000 we're putting away every year.
Yeah.
Why isn't it shown in previous years then?
Because I just show it in the assigned funds, not in the spend, because we didn't spend it.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's supplemental.
It's in the supplemental.
Okay.
Right.
Is that what we paid for last time? Was supplemental.
You can also bond for it.
Yes.
It's essential.
So that's an essential if you want
that. That's just, you know, when we come to that point where we have to get the equipment,
When we bought the equipment in 16, we put $50,000 away out of the supplemental every year so that we can.
It's not a big hit.
So there's not a big hit at the time of. So okay. It's just going to be assigned.
I don't know what it's going to cost, but $500,000 probably.
And as we talked about when we were talking about per budget, that is in the. We purchased it out of the supplemental fund last time. Elections is something you can pay for supplemental. Township officials, that's whatever township officials request money, they were asked to be. I think the Board of Supervisors has made the moved it to minimum wage, haven't they? I think that's what they get. Maybe some of the townships don't ask for it, some of them do.
About half of them, exactly. For years and years and years, I think it was $5 an hour, and then we upped it to minimum wage.
Page 49 and page 59, employees' insurances. That $49,000 is the premiums for retired county departments, and that varies depending on.
That's about five or six retirees.
Unless they usually
I kind of looked to see who.
Is that on union contract?
It's on everything.
Everything?
Union, non-union. And it's based on years of coverage, not years of service.
Years of coverage.
So you have to, since we were in a flexible benefit for so long, they only get credit for the years that they actually have the insurance, not years of service. So if somebody's had the insurance for 10 years when they retire, and they retire, it's all based on IFRS, so they're actually retiring and getting that retirement pension, then they would qualify. But if they haven't had the insurance and all of a sudden their last year they decide to hop on the insurance, they don't qualify for the retiree insurance.
That's 10?
10 is the minimum. They get 1 year paid. Up to the max we pay is 3.
3 years?
They have to have the insurance for 30 years. So we are going to see, since we changed over, you're going to see this increase because more individuals are going to qualify.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and we did previously have a contract that was years of service. That went away a couple of years ago. So now we're all consistent across the whole county as far as who qualifies.
Okay.
Yeah, there is some dental in there, too. It's not just health. Dental is pretty minimum.
Yeah.
The health is the big.
Vehicle fuels and maintenance is for county police car. Inventory, that's for the inventory that your office takes care of when people go and get built back for. Safety equipment, safety training. Alyssa wants
to know. Sure. This has gone up, but there is also, there's a $10,000 grant from our workers' compensation company that they're looking to buy some training equipment, fire safety training, so we can do that. That offsets the difference in the increase. So we pay for, like, safety day. We purchase AEDs. Typically, we get a grant.
You're saying the $10,000 grant is in that $16,000.
Yeah, so there is an offset. Lisa, you budgeted in the revenue, correct?
Okay.
So if
if Story County is not awarded that grant, there will be no purchase for that equipment. Mm-hmm. So then, yeah.
I'm gonna look for that offset and make sure.
Make sure it's in there, yeah. So. But we've been trying to capitalize on any type of grant that we can get for safety equipment. Mm-hmm.
Bank transaction fees, basically the ACH fees, direct deposit fees for all county employees comes out of this line. Education and training for sick management, for employee development training sessions. Again, I'm going to level with them.
Sure. We did lower this a little bit. We're able to, it's not, you know, we've budgeted $25,000 in the past. We've been able to take that down. The feedback and departments do like that is leadership training. Otherwise, some of them don't get that training. So if we can offer it on a countywide basis, it is much more cost effective than sending someone individually to a training outside of here. And we can do a full day's training for a 3-hour training for $1,500 and have 40 to 60 people go versus spending $300 or $400 a day or whatever the fees are. So we do some of the. This is typically these management trainings are the ones we get consultants to come in, leadership training, different things like that, sexual harassment training. We do some training on our own. Obviously, there's no cost for that, whether it's ADA training or FMLA. That's on top of this, these fees. So.
Consultant fees, this one's the one that was put in by facilities after the CIP conversation.
Yeah, it's countywide spacing study and incorporate office space, storage space. As you can see in our CIP, there's a lot of requests for various types of storage. Some are new buildings, some are putting additions on existing buildings. I think the space needs study would help get some professional guidance on what direction we go, maybe help set some priorities with all the requests.
Since we asked you to do this, pretty much, or urged you, kindly with smiles, urged you. Yeah, great.
Yeah, I think it would be money well spent on the front end. I think it would pay for itself on the back end on any potential large projects.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to know. The information we need to know. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet.
Equipment rent maintenance, so that's just the postage machine here and in the sheriff's office, or sheriff's department. Contract labor, that's the mission critical contract.
Anticipated to go just through StoryCom. It's supporting StoryCom, correct?
Correct.
Anything else?
Yeah, my understanding goes through StoryCom. So through the completion of the
project would be the end of next year. Okay.
And I put an amount in. Quite frankly, I don't know what this. I don't have a firm. This is what it's going to be. Okay? I know it's a third. E911 pays it, and then the county ISU and the city of Ames pay them or reimburse them a third. Management services, I don't know how else to explain and name this except management services. It does a lot of, it's got a lot of little miscellaneous things in it that we've done for years as far as things that need to be done.
I do want to bring up, Lisa, this is where we've been paying for the codification services. We're not codifying, we're supplementing our ordinance out of the Board of Supervisors budget every year. It looks like it's going to be with I can't anticipate how many ordinances planning and development is going to redo.
Uh-huh.
It looks like what I've been trying to do is supplement twice a year, January and July, so we get that updated. And there's about a $450 hosting fee. So I am recommending that we move that out of the board, since it covers more of a countywide function.
put that $4,500 under here versus...
$4,500?
I think that would cover it. We might have some extra in there, too. It, so if we could add $4,500
to that... I don't know if you have a
I didn't budget $4,500. We've just been paying for it.
Oh, so it's an addition.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we've been able to do that because I haven't had as much contract services for, you know, union purposes and different things. But going forward, I never budgeted
for it out of their plan.
So I prefer to pay for it out of countywide because it is more of a countywide function.
Under management services? And what are you calling that?
It's our ordinance modification slash supplement. It's for the online ordinance. And it seems to be going much better than waiting 5 years to update anything.
So that would take us up to 11.6. Mm-hmm. Any problems with that?
No. Do we even, like you say, you've just been charging it under contractual labor?
Paying it under there. And when we did the whole codification, we looked and did that. I don't know if that was the most appropriate since it was more of a county-wide function, but that's...
Well, you're right. Most of it's planning and development, but we don't know where it's going to be from.
No.
It's county-wide.
And actually, it should reduce the cost of the five. You're supposed to codify. You have to codify every 5 years. We're keeping it update, so there isn't that huge...
Right.
Was it 12,000 that we paid?
I want to say, was it 12,000? I can't remember.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a few years. It was a huge project. Now it shouldn't be near it.
Ongoing, it shouldn't be near.
Yeah. We're updating our ordinance as it happens versus going back and re-looking and codifying it every 5 years. Yeah. So over the time, it should. Plus, it's a searchable database, such as, I mean, I don't know if you've ever gone out and looked at the one online. It looks like the legislative services site where you can search.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
Very, very helpful if I was looking for something, if I was on the outside. So.
Yeah.
Shelby,
how
check
the national team? I don't think Shelby has. I mean, I can talk about that. Shelby,
oh, okay.
Tell you what's rented. They're rented out because of the... Because we rent out the Duluth and Calhoun, they were there's no exemption for property taxes on those anymore because we take rent on them. So the cost I'm estimating this year it was $16,700. Next year I'm estimating $17,000. I don't know that that's what it's going to be.
What do we bring in on rent on those?
One thing.
30 per.
30, yeah, it's 30 per. I'll have to.
Hang on.
I might have to.
Well, you have you're going to have to negotiate new contracts for July 1st.
The building rent that's brought in for in the community life budget is the facilities portion. We're putting 135.6 in this.
Okay.
Current year is 135.6. Next year, he's negotiating them again. We get up that to 174.8. So it's cost to rent them out, basically. I mean, they can't
if be. If we were ever to StoryCom, think about this.
Huh?
Think about this in terms of StoryCom. If we were ever to rent for a cellular loan,
going over. Oh, we'd have to pay taxes on it, you mean?
On how?
Yeah, this totally took me by surprise
this year. Yep. And this is the first. That 16.7 is the first we paid.
Yeah.
Because it's back.
Because
it's back.
Because the assessment is for
your taxes are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
The next one is employee volunteer recognition, basically. You're aware of what that is. That's an employee recognition breakfast. The length of service or years of service awards, such things.
Department recognition.
Department recognition.
Anybody leave? Yep.
Next one, pre-employment pistols and pre-employment drug testing.
This is all that the sheriff pays for their own. They utilize their own position for their pre-employment. They do not use augmented. So that comes out of their own budget.
Okay. employee wellness. That's the request from, it's under employee programs, not page 50, but employee wellness.
The question, if I could.
Uh-huh.
In previous years, it was acceptable to bill health screenings and flu vaccines through health insurance preventive care benefits. Walmart does not allow corporate-sponsored wellness clinics to be billed through preventative health. If employees were doing all of this on their own with their own physician, it wouldn't pay for Walmart, but because the county's offering it, we're paying for something that Walmart would pay for?
Some of them cannot get these screenings. They can't. They won't order those tests. So it's more of a robust. So, like, for me, there are certain tests that I get through this screening that wouldn't be my normal because of my age.
Hmm.
So what we did is we were able to, through Aetna, we would bill it through them as a preventative blood screen, blood draw. Walmart does not allow us to do that. They don't allow us to bill it. It is $60 or $70 through, Mercy changed the fee. It used to be $60 or $65. I think it's $70 now. If that hits our health plan, it is more than $70. The tests, all those tests. If you went, it'd probably be $200 or $300 versus labs. So it is, you know, as we move into our, go into a self-insurance model, that those fees that aren't hitting our insurance plan right now. I mean, Walmart will pay for them, individuals. It is a convenience, too, to have that. We want employees to get their health risk assessment. We want them to have the blood draw. Most likely they won't. Some of them won't do it.
What stops a physician from reordering these tests and us having to pay them those? So they can.
So what happened before when we ran it through Aetna, the employees that came and did it here, so I did it, I would sign something saying, I know if my doctor orders this, it's already been covered and they're not going to be covered by the insurance plan. So that employee would have to, you know, sometimes the employees would pay for it instead of running it through the insurance.
Okay.
Because insurance is only going to pay for it once a year.
Right. That's
So we would do our education pieces. If you've already had it done when we were with Aetna, they're not going to pay for it again, and they're going to reject it, and you're going to have to pay for it, in other words.
But with our self-insurance,
we would just pay for it. I mean, it's either going to be through our – I mean, if we would go truly self-insured at some point, I don't know if it's going to be next fiscal year. I haven't seen the renewals. So I'm kind of leaving that to the side. But if it is, we're paying for it anyway.
Okay.
The other thing is the flu shots, we used to be able to run them through. I'm still looking and seeing if we can find – you know, we went – it's all about how whoever administers our flu shot clinic, whether they will bill. So I don't know if there's a if we go with a certain pharmacy, if they will individually do that. I mean, they're 100% covered on the health plan. Again, if we're self-insured, it's not going to matter. It's coming out of the same pot of money. So it was a little glitch when we moved to Walmart. But they have done this. We will offset this. We did get some funds that were not spent in our flexible spending account. That does come back to the county. So we deposited, what, $2,300?
I think you deposited.
We'll offset this amount with that.
So the next line is called employee programs, but it's out of the employee wellness fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that $2,300 was deposited in that.
What $2,300 are you referring to? No, we have a flexible spending account for medical. If they don't spend that and they can't carry over, employees can only carry over $500. So if I flex $1,500, don't spend any of it, technically I'm losing $1,000. That comes back to the employer. And then we use those to benefit. We put them in the wellness because we use them to benefit employees. The money can't go back to the employee, but we can utilize that to benefit our wellness program. Now, what I will say, the amount, $12,500 for a wellness program is pretty good.
Okay.
Employee wellness. We're seeing employers, I mean, Linn County has a contract for six figures for their employee wellness benefit. Now, they are self-insured, and they see the benefit on their self-insurance piece. But $12,500 for the number of employees that we have is very
conservative. And it does not include what has been talked about a while back, the fitness center reimbursement.
No, those have to be, and that's just, I've kind of left that to the end to see
I mean, we were waiting to see where we were at, but no, that does not include that. This would be like the wellness programs that the wellness committee puts on throughout the year, and then the health risk assessments, and then the flu shots.
Audit and clerical services, I'm budgeting 103 this year. No, I'm re-estimating 103 this year because we did not get that audit until after the fiscal year. So the 54.9 we've already paid is our county audit plus data cost advisory for DHS. So I'm putting it to 65 again next year because that's approximately where we run them.
I'm not sure we had to do our actuary for OPEP, correct?
Yes.
GASB 75, that came out of there.
Full actuary.
Yeah.
Dues and memberships, that is listed there as to what's in that line item. CERTA, ISAC, Ames Chamber, Nevada Chamber, NACO. Next one, this is the request from facilities for two replacement vehicles. We usually pay for facilities management. No. Most vehicle requests come out of countywide, so that's the appropriate place.
Can they go in the supplemental?
Yeah.
By law, I mean, it's just not one of those.
It's not one of the listed items that can be paid for.
Thank you. Okay.
So how many? Are these the two? You have more trucks than this?
Yeah. We have a total of six. Six trucks is two of them.
Okay. When were the other four? How long were the other four good for?
Oh, I think the next oldest is got at least. It's a 2014, so it's got a.
Are both of these trucks on their last legs or?
One for sure. There's one that.
One for sure.
One for sure I was curious whether or not we'd make it through winter. Luckily, we haven't had a whole lot of snow to plow with it. Okay. The other one's not far behind it. I mean, we generally do them on 10 years, and there's a reason we do them at 10 years. They're usually pretty much used up.
I was just thinking when we get to the end of all of this, and we're trying to balance stuff out and figure out what to do, whether we could put one in, shift one into 22.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that may come up. So, I mean, I have one pick that if we got to keep one, we got one that we would keep. So,
I'm not saying, I'm just
Yeah, that's why I figured I'd be here because I thought that might come up that we could push. If we had to push one, we do have one that. Mm-hmm. I would be willing to roll the dice on and keep it another year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
And I am in favor of that we go back to one.
Okay.
Just because, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we usually...
I'd be fine with one as well. I appreciate it. I just want to know that.
Yeah. And that would even probably help in the future, too, instead of having... Otherwise, we'd have the same two come up every 10 years.
Yeah,
it's generally we stagger them, but back in 2011 there was an abundance of funds from the CLP program that we ended up purchasing two in that fiscal year. So,
okay.
Yep.
I like that idea. Thank you.
You bet.
These are cutting that.
So would that be 34.4 rather than 34.4 potentially?
Okay.
The next few line items are the GIS services, probably seven, eight years ago, when at some point in time.
The Ames Assessor blew up the maps committee?
Correct.
That's the phrase
you're looking for. Okay, I'll let Lucy say that. The GIS position down the hall, Matt Boyd, started being funded 50% from county assessor and 50% from Story County. Okay, so it comes out of countywide services. That's where his this is half of his salary, half of his FICA, IFRS, and FLEX, and then the mapping project itself. There's a line item for $15,500. That's the request that he's made out of countywide.
For the mapping project, are you referring to the 15,000?
Yeah, 15.5 is what they've been requesting for years and years and years, that the county fund 15.5 of that mapping.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so that's a 50-50 with the county assessor. Then insurance reserve, 267. Basically, 67,000 of that is we self-insure for vehicles. Wrecks.
And we don't have comprehensive.
Yeah, that's our internal alarm. So that's what 67,000 is, and then 200,000 is for self-insurance funding, inclusive putting 200,000 towards the self-insurance.
So what do we have in the insurance reserve? And what's our balance right now without the self-funding for health insurance?
Just for vehicles?
Yeah.
We utilize that 67,000 almost every year.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking cracks and windshield.
We paid 65, and we paid 17, and then we paid 82, and then we, I mean, it varies.
That's just what we need.
Yeah.
That's not building on anything up.
Okay.
No,
was my question.
Yeah, we don't put any money away for.
No,
we don't have a reserve for
the only thing
vehicle
we
repairs.
No.
And this goes into the insurance fund, so we transfer the 200.
I got it.
The 200.
Thank you.
So, insurance, these line items, insurance reserve, insurance and bonds, litigation and settlements, and unemployment, per code, can all be paid out of the supplemental fund and all.
Okay. And in the past years, when we did the 200,000, we had only budgeted a 15% increase within the department, and that wasn't enough. So part of that 200,000 that we built into the countywide did cover some of the insurance increase. What was it, 2 years ago, Lisa? 2 years?
That's 2 years. They
the
were higher
year.
Than.
Yeah.
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 So, Alyssa, and if you said this earlier, I apologize. I'm going to ask it again. So, where are we as far as the fund balance to get to self insurance? We had been shooting for $1 million.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
Maybe by the end of this fiscal year. It just depends on how claims go.
Do we have the balances right now?
We last fiscal year it was about 600,000. So, but I need to do the. I mean, it just we're doing well on the partial self funding piece.
Uh-huh.
We may be ready to go. It's open 3 years. I'm pretty conservative when it comes to making that leap, but we look good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. But in order to go to a full self-funded model, you at least want $700 to $1 million in reserve to pay those claims, because you're paying yourself with your premiums, but you're only collecting those on a monthly basis. So you have to have a reserve to pay. I mean, if we get a, you know, $300,000 to $400,000. I mean, our stop loss is going to be lower than that. But say we had 4 or 5 claims. I mean, you just want to have a reserve. It wouldn't work. So we didn't have a reserve going into the partial self-funding piece. We had to budget. So
okay, thank you.
But I'll look at those figures again. I didn't bring them with me, but. I think by the end of the year, we may be close to that 750 to a million.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
The figures for that, they're not, I mean, not huge just in terms of the entire budget, but the figures for litigation and unemployment compensation seem kind of high based on our.
We just budget, so for litigation, we budget 3 deductibles we have.
Okay.
Very unlikely that we do that in a year, but we've just. Our deductible is $10,000.
Okay.
Unemployment, no, we don't typically. The unemployment claims that we have, the county has not lost those claims. I mean,
but you always can, is that why?
Well, you can, and we pay per claim, so we don't pay into the insurance pool.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't
yeah.
in the past.
That's kind of the system I'm familiar with.
Yeah, but we pay for claims. So,
but you got 15,000.
It's a placeholder. If we have one claim, it's anywhere from, I mean, it just depends how long that person's on unemployment, mm-hmm. but I've seen anywhere from 5 to 7,500.
Yeah, and
5,000 to 7,500.
And levy one time in the supplemental at mm-hmm. the beginning of the year. We levy for
two or three claims.
Yeah. And then I'm reestimating both of those down. I can reestimate them down more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't anticipate. We did budget a lot more when we did layoffs for CLP and vacation measures. We paid for all that. But
so are you saying that 15,000 may go down, or are you saying that's more of an accurate?
We budget 15,000.
We budget 15,000. I'm going to spend 5. I don't think we'll spend 2 this year. I mean,
for fiscal year 20 is what you're saying. Okay. I'm sorry.
But I'm saying
you always
want
to do for 15.
You have a one-time chance to levy in the supplemental annually, just like anything else. So you levy for worst case scenario when it comes to say insurance. Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I just misunderstood what you said. Thank you.
Engineering architectural at the top of page 51, manager from 61. That again was DAPA. So I put 40,000 for next year. I don't think we're going to spend anything, but I don't want to take any chances because it's a dumb service area. So that will not be. It'll be zero most likely, but I don't want to not have anything in there in case there's continuation of claims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's where we get to the debt payment. This is a piece of story council full payment. Secondary road bond, not bonded.
So it looks like we'll probably bond yet this year $3 million for secondary roads. But a lot of that that we authorized was that East 13th to paving. So that was almost $3 million of the, I think, $8 million that was authorized. So we're going to have to look at debt service levy for FY21 and take that down to match what we're actually going to be paying.
Right.
So that number will go down.
Yeah.
Okay.
TIP, that's the TIP payment, or that's the 729 is the scheduled payments for TIP bonded debt. And we go to interest. And fiscal agent fees. The current year, 50,000, is based on, and obviously that's obvious to me, that's coming out of the debt service fund also. So we levy, so if there is fiscal fees, we do pay it out of the debt service levy also. When we actually hire outside counsel like we are with the road bond, it does come out of, it can be up to 50,000. So I don't know.
So, I mean, that's pretty drastic to go from 50,000 down to 15,000.
Because the current year is the year I'm planning on using them. At this point in time, on an ongoing basis, they charge us like $1,500.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
okay.
They'll come to the board probably late March.
Mm-hmm.
What my discussion. I don't have a definitive timeline yet, but that's roughly what's going to happen.
Down to Justice Center. That's where we have the $630,000 we talked about for the remodel of the
county attorney.
That's what the current
estimate. Which the breakdown for that is, I think, page 54 of your packet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there's some. Space. Major categories that they refer is general remodeling. Matt's reworking of the old courtroom space and the associated judges' chambers. You know, $135 a square foot for remodel. I mean, that price is higher. A lot of that work is in-floor plumbing work. We want to add private restrooms for the attorney's office. I mean, there's a large section of that floor has got to come up to accommodate that. So then the rest is just kind of a little bit of rework of their current space, and that's just adding points of entry into the newly allocated field courtroom space and then the old judges' chambers. And then what's included in the court's offices portion of that is what is currently the law library, adding some deposition rooms, and then adding a private entry for court personnel on the main floor, and then swapping a current jury room and judges' chambers. It's virtually just swapping those around. So,
Joby, based upon that research you've done, thanks, okay, or whatever, we really don't have any agreement that we can go back to really solidify about how,
you know, and even at this point, I mean, I don't know what the appropriate amount to budget for, but looking at the fact that we will have a new county attorney that may have a different idea on how that space is going to look, and then we also, if choose to fund the space needs study, I would recommend waiting until that is performed before we move forward with any kind of remodel project. So, I mean, I don't think this estimate's going to get drastically reduced unless you eliminate private restrooms, and even then it's still going to be pretty...
Is there a specific amount for the private restrooms?
No, it's not broke down to that level. This is just based off of, we spent some dollars to do some schematic design so we could get a cost estimate. At this point, we've had, you know, those are out of this current fiscal year. We've spent about, it was right around $4,800 is what that total cost was going to be for schematic design. We've spent just about half, just a hair over half of that at this point. So we could have another redraw of the space with another cost estimate based off of what the new county attorney may or may not want to change what's drawn up right now.
I think so,
yes,
and you're thinking this wouldn't be in the fiscal year 21 budget?
We wait, which I recommend we wait until, if we're going to spend the money to have a space needs study performed, I say we hold off on this project until after that is done, which may push the whole project into a different fiscal year, or at least a large portion of it. So,
how soon do you anticipate having that space? Are you going to do it right at the beginning of the fiscal
year? I would say we get started right out of the gate. Because we need to do an RFP to to get somebody hired to perform it. That's going to take some time. So I would say we would start that space needs study as soon as we get into the next fiscal year.
The last time that we met with everybody over there, the judicial personnel and the Fulton County Attorney's Office, I remember asking, is everybody okay currently with the way things are? And can you kind of live with that for a while? And everybody said, yeah, we're all okay. So I don't think that delaying it should be a major problem for anybody operationally. I haven't gone and counted offices and said, yes, three people stacked in an office someplace, but I don't see it when I go over there.
What was the judicial changes? I mean, they're minimal.
They're minimal. Yeah, I mean, the biggest... One is, I mean, it would be even outside of what I would say kind of a required request was the changing of the jury room with the judge's chambers. And a lot of that, some of it's a want, some of it's a kind of